In a world that had lost its way, that was groping around in the darkness to find some meaning to life, and as pagan religions began to multiply because people needed something to grasp onto and explain the mysteries of the universe, this is when God decided once again to break through human history and reveal himself and form a people that would worship him. Thus God calls Abraham, reveals himself to Abraham, raises up through Abraham a son, Isaac, and then Jacob. And Jacob's sons and their descendants would become the people of Israel. Thus we have the early patriarchs. One of the sons of Jacob, the youngest, named Joseph, was held in esteem by his father, but was made the object of scorn by his brothers out of jealousy. So they decided to sell him to slavery, and some Egyptians brought him into Egypt, and Joseph had a gift given to him by God to interpret dreams, and so he became a trusted confidant of the Pharaoh of Egypt. This is how the Israelites ended up in Egypt in the first place, because when a great famine hit Israel, they migrated to Egypt, not knowing that their brother was there. He recognized his brothers, Joseph did, and gave them a place to stay in Egypt, where they grew into a large nation after 400 years. Then you've got Moses and the whole Exodus. I bring that up because God told his people to go to Joseph, and he would be their salvation. God tells us again to go to Joseph. Not that he is our salvation, but it was through him that salvation came into the world, as he guarded and protected the Virgin Mary and protected the infant Christ up until his young adulthood. Of this, our bishop writes, "As Almighty God appointed Joseph, the son of the patriarch Jacob, over all the land of Egypt, to save grain for the people, so when the fullness of time had come and he was about to send to earth his only begotten son, the Savior of the world, God chose another Joseph, of whom the first had been the type, and he made him the Lord and chief of his household and possessions, the guardian of his choicest treasures. Indeed, he had as his spouse the Immaculate Virgin Mary, of whom was born by the Holy Spirit Jesus Christ our Lord, who deigned to be reputed in the sight of men as the son of Joseph and willingly subjected himself to him. Him whom countless kings and prophets had desired to see, Saint Joseph not only saw, but conversed with, held, embraced in paternal affection, and kissed as a father. He most diligently reared him, whom the faithful to receive as the bread that came down from heaven, whereby they might obtain eternal life. Because of this sublime dignity which God conferred on his most faithful servant, the Church has always highly honored and praised Saint Joseph next to his spouse, the Virgin Mother of God, and has besought his intercession in times of trouble. Accordingly, our most holy sovereign, Pope Pius IX, in order to entrust himself and all the faithful to the patriarch Saint Joseph's most powerful patronage, has solemnly declared him the patron of the Catholic Church, which he did on December 8, 1870. As such, Saint Joseph becomes the father of the entire household of God. He prays for us that we can be made worthy of the promises of his son. He's there to give us a model of strength and courage, a model of service and silence and humility. As we enter the 150th anniversary of the declaration of Saint Joseph as the patron of the Universal Church, I too would like to go to Joseph by inaugurating a year of St. Joseph in the Diocese of Lafayette, beginning August 16, 2020, and concluding May 1, 2021, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. It is my desire that in the difficult times that we find ourselves in today, we too might go to St. Joseph for his help and protection and learn from his example how to become better disciples. How do we do that? In his life, we see St. Joseph as a man of deep prayer. St. Joseph, a man of deep prayer. We know that St. Joseph was a faithful Jew. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath, took the baby Jesus along with him, young Jesus with him. They went to the temple in Jerusalem every year for Passover. We know that because Jesus was lost at that time when he was about 13. But in addition to his liturgical and family prayer, St. Joseph becomes a model of personal prayer. His complete surrender to God's will and surrendering in silence can only be explained by a deep interior life, a deep life of love for the Lord. And so in this year of St. Joseph, we go to St. Joseph himself to learn commitment to daily personal and family prayer. St. James tells us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And St. Joseph, we know, is indeed a doer of the word. Notice how in the Gospels, St. Joseph never says anything. There's nothing recorded of his words at all. No words are there. But we're simply told that St. Joseph heard what God wanted. He did what God asked and did it without complaining. He heard, he rose, and did exactly what God asked of him to do. The way of St. Joseph is the way of listening in prayer and doing in action, not drawing any attention to ourselves. During the year of St. Joseph, let us go to St. Joseph to learn how to surrender ourselves to God's loving plan for us, and like him, to listen attentively in prayer, and then with God's grace, rise and become doers of the word. And lastly, St. Joseph is a provider for the Holy Family. We know that the Son of God, Jesus, labored alongside St. Joseph with a hammer and chisel. In such fashion, human work became something sacred and redeemed, and its dignity was elevated. Work is a way of working out our salvation. With confidence, then, we can go to St. Joseph for help in finding work to obtain an honest living. Like St. Joseph, let us spend time with our young people, teaching them how to work and giving them an appreciation for its redemptive value. It's my fervent hope that during this year of St. Joseph, every Catholic in the Diocese of Lafayette may fervently and confidently go to Joseph for his intercession, his protection, and his example. With every good wish, I am faithfully yours in Christ, Most Reverend John Douglas Desitel, Bishop of Lafayette. And thus we begin this year in honor of St. Joseph in our diocese. We prayed in the responsorial psalm, O God, let all the nations praise you. As I said in the very beginning, God fashioned a religion, the Jewish faith, for the Jewish people, his chosen ones, to be a light to the nations, that they could come to know, love, and serve him as the one true God, and follow the commands that he gave us. Jesus brings it to fulfillment and offers this new faith in himself, not just for the Jews, but for the entire world. The church is indeed the household of God. And God is calling all to faith, even the Gentiles, the non-believers, our own ancestors, to come to faith, hope, and love in Christ Jesus. And that was prophesied, as we heard in the first reading from Isaiah. God's house becomes a house of prayer for all peoples. God wants us, as his household, to make his name glorified in all the corners of the world. It's up to us as to follow the examples of the saints who've gone before us, like St. Joseph, who profess faith in one Lord, who is Jesus Christ. To adhere to the one faith, the Catholic faith that Christ gave to the world. To fulfill our baptismal promises and that one baptism into Christ that makes us one in him and one as a body of believers. Giving our prayer, adoration, and praise and obedience to the one God who is the Father of all of us. Of all the things that St. Joseph has done, I think the greatest of his titles for this day and age is perhaps his own title as Patron of the Dying, in which he serves a powerful, powerful role, patron of the dying. It's perceived that St. Joseph died probably sometime before Jesus began his public ministry, before he began preaching the gospel, obviously long before his death and resurrection. But we know that St. Joseph was able to leave this world with Jesus and Mary right there at his side. Until recently, say within the past few decades, in fact, past 50 years or so, most people died at home. Most people died at home with family and friends at their bedside. But today, people die in hospitals and nursing homes, and sadly, many times they die alone. Oftentimes this happens because their family members have stopped practicing the faith altogether, or maybe have left the church. And I've noticed that many persons who are devout practicing Catholics in their lives sometimes have no one to think of calling a priest to come and attend to their loved ones in their last days, to offer the anointing of the sick, the Eucharist, or the sacrament of penance. Now keep in mind, those sacraments are necessary and powerful at the end of a person's life. Even if a person's unconscious, and can't confess their sins, I can still give them absolution if I know that their heart would have been in the right place had they been able to go to confession. That allows them to die a death in sanctity. So the life of St. Joseph calls all of us to live holy lives, lives centered on Jesus Christ, directed toward God the Father, living that life in Christ. To live holy and to die holy. Living holy and dying holy leads us to us living together. As Jesus says, whoever lives in me and dies in me will not die but live forever. So brothers and sisters, in your work, in your prayer, in your service to God and obedience to God, in everything that you do, follow St. Joseph's example, that through us living faithfully, all the nations can come to praise the one true God who calls all his children to serve him as Father of us all.